You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
This week is Homelessness Awareness Week, and in an ironic and cruel twist, downtown Eastside activists are pointing to the loss of housing for another 74 people living in this neighborhood. Employees of the Empress Hotel, a low-income rental building in the downtown Eastside, are saying that the new owner of the hotel has told them that they are fired and that he intends to evict all of the tenants within 3 months. The Empress Hotel has 74 rooms available to Vancouver's poorest residents. The Downtown Eastside Residents Association says they've now learned that the same owner has bought the Gastown Hotel. On Thursday, Councillor Tim Stevenson brought a motion to City Council calling for a moratorium on single-room occupancy conversions, but the motion was tabled at the NPA-dominated council. I'm joined by Kim Kerr. He's the director of DERA, the Downtown Eastside Residents Association. Hi, Kim.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for coming in. What do we know about the new owner's plans for the Empress Hotel?
Well, I want to begin by clarifying one thing. The Gastown Hotel has been purchased by the same person who's involved with 33 Living and purchased the Pender Hotel. The Empress Hotel has been purchased by a gentleman by the name of Hassan Ashori. That hotel was on the market for $1.9 million. Mr. Ashori spent $2.34 million to purchase the hotel. We know from, we have in fact a signed affidavit from an employee at the hotel and from others that have spoken to us at the hotel, that Mr. Ashori has made it very clear to the tenants in the hotel that he intends to evict the tenants within 3 months' time. DERA is very careful in announcing these things because we appreciate what a crisis this is, and we don't intend to make people nervous for no reason. But there's a shark in the pool, and we need people to know there's a shark in the pool. No one pays $2.34 million for the Empress Hotel with the intention of continuing to manage it the way it has been managed recently under Tony, with rents in the neighborhood of $350. So we are confident that given what we've seen happening in this neighborhood, that hotel will not be available to the tenants in the near future, and we want them to be prepared, and we want to offer them all defense that we can in that preparation.
Now, you've also pointed to the purchase of the Gastown Hotel. How does that add to your concern?
The Gastown Hotel has been purchased, as I said, by the same people for 33 Living that have purchased the Pender Hotel. We saw with the Pender Hotel, after great assistance from the Vancouver Police Department and the city, that the tenants evicted from that hotel. That's a loss of 48 rooms. We don't believe that any developer in this climate buys these hotels, especially developers of condos, which is the case with the owner of the Gastown Hotel, with the intention of continuing to provide those hotels as SRAs. And normally we would wait till there were eviction notices that came out before we really stepped things up. But currently, and with the experience at the American Hotel, we've learned that we have to get involved in it a lot sooner than that. And people have a right to know if a developer has bought their hotel, and they have a right to understand what their rights are. So we're not trying to alarm people here. We're telling people in a 99-room hotel, which is what the Gastown Hotel is, and the Gastown Hotel is important to point out, was one of the targets of Project Haven conducted by the Vancouver Police Department. They have a right to know that their housing is at risk, and they have a right to know what their rights are, and that's what our intention is.
Okay, spell it out for us a little bit here. What we're talking about numbers, you know, 99 at the Gastown Hotel, 74 at the Empress. How does this all fit into the picture? What's the need? And how many rooms are available, and how many are we losing?
Well, we know from, at least if I can go by City Council's numbers, which aren't often accurate, but we've got about 4,900 rooms in the downtown east side. We have somewhere in the neighborhood, and I would say this is on the low side, of 1,300 people sleeping in the streets of this city. And given that particularly women have to find places to sleep that are safe, where they're not going to be abused, if you can find such a place when you're on the street, we think those counts are inaccurate. We believe, lose the 74 rooms at the Empress, the 99 rooms at the Gastown. The Pender Hotel was 48 rooms. The Burns Block was 21 rooms, would have been more had they not gutted out two floors. The American Hotel was 31 rooms. The New Wings Hotel, although it will reopen with very limited rights for his tenants. We lost that. The Mar Hotel, the Paslin Hotel, it goes on and on. These are historic numbers. If you look at the over a period of time since Expo 86, you'll see that, yes, there have been losses, but they have ramped up since the announcement of the Olympics. And obviously, all we have to do is look out our windows to see the rampant development, and it's certainly not social housing. The condos that are being built by Stadium SkyTrain, it's my understanding you need to come up with $10,000 even to look at one. So these developers are not interested in providing social housing to anyone, and we really feel that it's time that the community has to stand up for itself. This isn't Expo 86 where they threw us all out and people begrudgingly moved in with no other choice to a room that had been hastily painted. This is the Olympics. This is gentrification. This is no coming back. These hotels are going to be gone, and the folks that, this is a community. I mean, I was out the other day on Hastings Street when unfortunately a woman was hit by a man who actually left the scene with his truck. The folks in this neighborhood ran off the street. They protected evidence at the scene. They determined who the woman was, where she lived. They directed traffic until the ambulance came. I frankly live in North Burnaby. I can't imagine that happening. No disrespect to the people of North Burnaby, but I do want to point out to people this is a community, and it's a community worth fighting for, and that's what we intend to do.
Now, some people make the argument that these places are despicable places to live and they should be shut down. They're slums, and people say they're better they may be better off on the street than living in them. What's your response to that?
The Downtown Eastside Residents Association has fought for years and years for things like getting sprinklers, along with others in the community, to get sprinklers in hotels, to get the basic minimum standards brought up in hotels. We have never considered these hotels to be adequate housing. We consider them to be slums. We consider the neighborhood to have become basically a ghetto, and that these are slumlords for the most part that run these buildings, who have lived off the poverty and misery of others for years and years. The problem here that we face, that we all know, and people who live in the hotels certainly know, is that it's better than being on the street. And until the senior levels of government and until the city of Vancouver stands up and does something about this, we don't want these buildings touched. We do want the city to come in and do what it is lawful. Required to do, which is to enforce the standards of maintenance. But we think these hotels need to be replaced with new housing. But these hotels can't go away until that new housing is there. Can't put people out in the street. Nobody's going to convince anyone in this neighborhood, I dare say, that you're better off living on the street.
What is the lack of affordable places to live? How does that affect people living in this neighborhood?
Well, I think it destroys the neighborhood. I mean, for many, many years. I mean, in the early 80s, I was what was at the time called a wino in this neighborhood. It was from this neighborhood that I went to detox and to treatment, which fortunately for me was available at that time. The backbone of this neighborhood depends on affordable housing. There's a community down here that's been down here for a very long time of particularly poor individuals who have come together as a community, and now that the property is seen as valuable, we have developers coming in, we have a police department and a city, a provincial government and a federal government through the Vancouver Agreement coming in and destroying this neighborhood. Let's be clear about that. And without affordable housing in this neighborhood, the neighborhood is gone. It won't be a neighborhood that any of us recognize. And it certainly isn't going to be a neighborhood that any of us, including myself as the executive director of DERA, could ever possibly afford to live in.
A motion to create a moratorium on conversion of SROs was brought by Councillor Tim Stevenson on Thursday to City Council. What happened at that meeting?
Well, The meeting, basically what happened was that the NPA did what the NPA has historically done in this city. They backed the developers. They didn't want to get in the way of developers. They're obviously concerned about the welfare of people like Mr. Ashori and people like Mr. Wilson, who is involved with the purchase of the Gastown Hotel. They protected the interests of people with money, and that's what they do. I'm not letting COPE or the Vision Vancouver off the hook on this either. This is an SRA bylaw that they brought in that has no teeth in it. If you read the Price Waterhouse study, which was done and paid for by the city of Vancouver when determining what kind of SRA bylaw to bring in, it clearly never mentions stopping homelessness. This is a clear attempt to make sure that some owners of hotels, like what happened in Expo 86, don't make an unfortunate business decision and lose money. This isn't about saving anybody anything. $5,000 a room is chump change. When Cope looked into this bylaw, they knew that San Francisco was $80,000 a room. They gave the developers what they wanted and tried to score political points. I appreciate that Mr. Stevenson has come forward and wants a moratorium and appreciates the necessity for it, and I applaud him for that. And we certainly went with lots of others in this community to support that. The MPA, I think, realizing that it was a pretty hostile crowd, and I can assure you it became a very hostile crowd as the hours wore on, decided it was better for them to defer it, to defer the decision until they get yet another report. I think that Muggs from the Carnegie eloquently and passionately pointed out that since 1971 they've done study after study after study and nothing changes. There's been very little change. I think the days that we depend on the city or the province or the federal government have to be over or we're going to lose everything. I think that for the city to come out with yet another study is... it's appalling. How many studies do you need? They simply need to walk down the street and see women sleeping in doorways with nothing but a blanket, to see particularly Aboriginal women on their own land outside on the street. I have people that sleep in the doorway of Dara's office all night. I often have the police come up and tell me to remove the garbage. They're referring to the human beings who live in our doorway. This is shameful.
It is shameful. Most of us remember Expo 86 when longtime residents were displaced from their housing. To what extent do you believe that these moves now are tied to the Olympics?
Oh, I think that it's often said to me and often reporters ask me, well, how can you make the comparison to Expo 86? Expo 86 lasted for 6 months. This is roughly 10 days. I think we would have to be naive. The Vancouver Agreement exists because the Olympics are coming. I mean, this is an effort by all levels of government. The police department of Vancouver didn't suddenly take an interest in people's welfare in hotels. I've been thrown out of hotels often enough after legally paying rent by Vancouver police in my own past to know that, and that continues to this day. The interest here is to clean this neighborhood up, put a lot of well-off people in the neighborhood so nobody's embarrassed during the Olympics, and the tourists that go to Gastown aren't offended by the poverty and misery of people on the streets. It's clearly the Olympics. What I would say is that the difference is twofold. This is much more serious than Expo 86 and that we're not going to have anywhere to move back into. And secondly, this is a timetable. The Olympics may only last for 10 days, but it gives a very rigid timetable to developers and to all levels of the government to do something with this neighborhood by 2010. The time to act is now, not 2010, or we'll lose the neighborhood.
Councillor Kim Capri has proposed that the city build what she calls transitional housing, specifically dorm-style 1,000-square-foot rooms. What's your response to that as a housing alternative?
Well, I got a couple of responses to that. Some of them quite obvious, I guess. But first, the term transitional housing is very interesting to me. And your listeners should know that in transitional housing, people who had the rights under the RTA that DARA and other organizations in this neighborhood fought for years to get people who lived in hotels who never had any kind of rights. Now people in a hotel presumably have the same rights as somebody living in an apartment in the West End, although they won't have those rights enforced as we saw with the American Hotel. Transitional housing may be good for the service providers that get the contracts to provide it, but let's be clear, it is not necessarily good for the people who end up living in rooms where the management can come through their room at any time, where it's very easy to be evicted, and it's also important to realize that it's not best practice. People need housing. People don't need to be taught how to wipe their behind before they move into housing. And what is the transition to? There's no there's nowhere for people to move to. This nonsense about transitional housing I find really offensive. Again, it's this idea that the poor and the homeless, some 300,000 in this country, somehow just are screw-ups and need to be taught how to live inside. And it covers up the fact that some 67% of the homeless are not drug addicted, are not mentally ill, and certainly we have even more of an obligation and a moral responsibility to help the people that face addictions and mental illness. But politically, they don't want to talk about the fact that a lot of people are homeless because they simply can't afford to pay the rent, that welfare hasn't been raised in years, and we've seen the province come out now with, and I know you have a guest later, so I won't dwell on it, but the province come out with housing housing matters. Obviously, housing doesn't matter to them. They aren't doing anything with it. They aren't helping welfare mothers who have young children, aren't even included. It's appalling. I'm sorry, I go on and forget the question you asked me.
Well, I'm talking about those rooms, the 100-square-foot rooms, which I understand somebody built an example room.
Yes, I'd like to give credit to whoever built it, but I'm really not sure who it was. It wasn't Dara, but I give credit to whoever built it. It demonstrated what 100 square feet are. 100 square feet is nothing. And as was pointed out in an article in The Courier, nobody in the province of Vancouver or province of BC is asking Kim Capri and Sam Sullivan to come up with a plan for 100 square feet. Clearly, the Liberals don't plan to build anything 100 square feet or otherwise. For Kim Capri to come out and offer what she calls cruise ship living in 100 square feet, I mean, perhaps Ms. Capri needs to live in 100 square feet. I would assume if she lives in a condo that her lobby is larger than 100 square feet, and perhaps that's where homeless people could live.
A moratorium might be a short-term solution to sort of stemming the tide of the loss of housing, but what do you see as the long-term solution for this neighborhood, for housing, for homelessness?
Well, housing is a right. I mean, you know, I have huge respect for the Anti-Poverty Committee that we'll put on tomorrow's event, and it's an expression I heard often from them. And housing is right, and it's true. Housing is a right. It's a right of all Canadians. I don't affiliate there with any political party, but I would like to say that I think Jenny Kwan's suggestion to the City of Vancouver that they simply build housing, which they have lots of money in the Property Endowment Fund to do, on the land that they own, the lots that they own in this community, and then demand that the provincial and federal government offer the subsidies. A building like Tellier Tower, where our office is, and which contains close to 100 units of deep core housing, which is what we need, would cost in the neighborhood of $10, $11, $12 million to build. The problem with social housing is that we need the subsidies. And I think Jenny's suggestion is a good one. The city, if it really means business, will build social housing and demand that the province and the federal government step up to the plate and fund those subsidies. It's everything about being a human being demands it. It just has to happen. And the only way it's going to happen is we take to the streets and make it happen, and we intend to do that.
You mean idea what's going to happen tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow, as I mentioned, tomorrow is a squat organized by the Anti-Poverty Committee, a group of people that I have a great deal of respect for, and I want to make that very clear, that I have a great deal of respect for the Anti-Poverty Committee. I think this community is fortunate that they have them. It is clear that the city is not intending to purchase even one hotel a year. It is clear they're not living up to the Homeless Action Plan, although, frankly, I think most of it's a joke, except for the examples that the homeless themselves gave about solving the problem. Therefore, there will be a squat at 4 o'clock tomorrow. There will be a rally that will happen at the corner of Carroll Hastings and Pigeon Park. Those that attend will march to a building, and some in that crowd will take it upon themselves to open the doors of that building, and the building will be squatted in a demand that the City of Vancouver live up to its obligations. Look, we've got people that are dying on the streets down here. We have people with HIV, we have people with Hep C, we have people whose immune systems are deteriorating and they're being left on the street. We have people with serious health problems, we have women, we have young people, we have elderly people on the streets. Civil disobedience needs to happen, and it's going to start happening, as we've been very clear with the city as APC has, and Dara supports this. Let there be no mistake, and I am not backing away from that support. I think it's necessary. I think that otherwise we are going to see more and more people on the street. The only thing anybody is going to listen to is direct action, and I've been very clear with city officials that we intend to take direct action and support others who have the courage to do so, and I would hope that lots of people come out to the corner of Carroll and Hastings tomorrow at 4 o'clock and demand that the city purchase properties that are vacant. It is shameful that we live in a city with this many people on the streets, with women sleeping in doorways, and that we allow these buildings to stay vacant.